When I was a little boy, I remember having to go shopping with my mother. And I'm sure most of the men in here, we all love shopping so much. And it seems innate from the moment, you know, we're a toddler on up that we don't enjoy that process, at least the most of us. Well, I remember not a lot about what was going on, but I must have been really small. But I remember my mother had to go into the changing room to try something on. And outside the changing room, there was a little area, what to my child's eyes looked like a little stage, which, you know, it's where you stand up so the tailor can mark your clothes if they have to be adjusted. Well, and then there was this mirror that had a front, and then it had two sides, right? And so I'm looking at that, and I'm like, wow, that's cool. I can see. And then I realized that there was a mirror on the back wall behind me. So I could see all the way around all at one time. It was, oh boy, did I jump up on that stage, and I got in front of that mirror, and I was looking. I was having the best time. And I remember spinning around and looking and thinking, wow, how wonderful. I could see all sides of me at one time. That's really cool. And then, yeah, I was had a boring childhood. I grew up in the it didn't take a lot to fascinate me. Now, not too long ago, I needed a new suit. And so I go to the store to buy a suit, and of course they have to tailor it because it doesn't fit exactly right. So, you know, 50 years later, I find myself standing on a very similar stage with this mirror in the front and on the sides and in the back, and I'm getting a view of myself from 360 degrees. I didn't have the same reaction that I did as a child. I didn't like what I saw. I didn't like the extra 30 pounds that was protruding out, and I just overall didn't seem to be having the same experience as I did as a child. Well, we're going to talk today about one of the, what I think is one of the most interesting passages in Scripture. Because it really is a 180-degree turn in the middle of this story. And it's very hard to understand why. Now, most of you know that we do a homily here, and the reason I choose that word as opposed to sermon is because I have a feeling that sermons tend to be, I'm going to tell you something, and that's the truth, and you're going to know it, and nobody's going to doubt it. Whereas a homily comes from the Greek word conversation, that means conversation. And what I want to do is help us start conversations with each other about what God is saying through these scriptures. So this one should be a conversation starter for sure. Last week, we had John the Baptist. Everybody remembers that story. He's in the middle of the river and baptizing people. And he has Mr. Personality, and he's got a lot of tact. And he says, "Hey, you brood of vipers." He calls people names. But it's interesting because the group of people he's talking to are not necessarily your standard suburbanites who would be in the synagogue later on. These were people that, for the most part, weren't well liked. The soldiers, the tax collectors. These people, he said to them, "You brood of vipers." And what did they do? They flocked to him because he was offering God's grace. And he was telling them what they needed to do once they received God's grace. And they flocked towards him, even though he was not exactly Mr. Tact. Today we have a different set of circumstances. We have a different speaker, for sure. We have Jesus. And we also have a different audience. We're in the synagogue. You know, that might be what you would call First Cumberland Presbyterian Church of Nazareth. If it was today, we would be in a church. These are the people, these were the religious people of the day. And so they start off in this service, and Jesus reads from Isaiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon me to preach good news to the poor, to free the captives, to heal those that are sick." And then it says that he sat down. Now, that was the custom of the day. You would read standing up from Scripture, but then you would sit down to give the lecture. And if I did that, you would all be going like this because you couldn't see me. But they sat down to teach. So he sits down, and the first things he says is that this Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing or in your eyes. It's fulfilled before you today. And the reaction of the crowd is this. They were amazed at the words. They were amazed, and they couldn't believe the gracious words or the words of grace that came out of Jesus' mouth. That's what Luke says. The words of grace. God came to help the poor. God is coming to release the captive. God is here to help those that are suffering. They loved the sound of those words of grace because they knew it was meant for them because they were God's chosen people. But then Jesus didn't stop there. He continued to teach. And he told them the stories that came from these same scriptures. He told them the story about Elijah. And he said, you know, there were a lot of widows during the famine that needed God's help. But the widow that Elijah helped was not a Hebrew. She was not part of the Jewish tradition. She was an outsider. She was a foreigner. And he reminded them of the story of Elijah. And he said, Elijah, in Elijah's time, there were lots of lepers. But the one God chose to heal through Elisha was Naaman the Syrian. Now, they didn't like Syrians because Syrians had conquered them. They were still living under an oppressive government at this time. The Romans were still there. Think about this. What Jesus was saying to them was that God loves the Jewish people. God is the God of Jewish people. But God is also the God of all humanity. That's what Jesus was trying to say to them when Jesus reminded them of the stories. Because they took Isaiah's prophecy as being for them. That was for them. And Jesus said, yes, it is. But not just for you. And let me remind you of how God interacts with humanity. All of it. And he tells them the story of the leper and the widow. And how God worked with them. Now remember, John the Baptist called them names, told them they were broods of vipers and awful human beings. But when Jesus is talking to the church people, he doesn't give them any direct statements. He doesn't say, you're not behaving correctly. He doesn't say, you need to live differently. He simply gives them an image, a vision of God. How God works and interacts with humanity. If we were going to modernize that story, we'd have to think of things against which we would not... Whoa! That syntax got out of control real fast. Let's try that again. If we were going to modernize this, we would have to think about what things make us uncomfortable. What makes us as church people uncomfortable? Because we can say all the time that God so loved the world, that God sent God's only Son for all the world to be saved. All the world. We can say that. But then what happens when we're reminded that God brings the rain on the just and the unjust. The sun shines on those who are good as well as on those who are bad. God's words of grace go for those who are good and those who are bad. Goes for those who are just and those who are unjust. That sometimes makes us uncomfortable because we, like the people of Israel, like to think that God's grace is somehow related to how good we are. We like to think we had something to do with it because we go to church, right? We like to feel that way. So if we're going to modernize it a little bit, it would be like telling us that God's love is here for the Democrat and the Republican. I know that's hard for some of you, but it's true. God's love is here no matter what the color of your skin. God's love is here no matter what your religion. God loves the Muslim. God loves the Sikh. God loves the Buddhist. And God, guess what? Loves the Christians too. But God's words of grace are not just for us and for people who look like us and think like us. God's love is there if you're married. God's love is for you if you're divorced. God's love is there for you if you're single. God's love for you is the same whether you're gay or whether you're straight. God's love doesn't change. That's what Jesus was saying to that congregation in Nazareth. He was saying to these people, I'm not going to tell you how to live. I'm just going to remind you who your God is. God's love doesn't know any difference. God's grace is the same for all of us. I think what happened in that synagogue in Nazareth happened to me in that dressing room looking in those three-way mirrors. I didn't like what I saw when I looked in the mirror, and I think that's exactly what happened to the people of Israel that were in that synagogue. When Jesus gave them the vision of who their God was, they didn't like what that reflected back on them. And so they tried to run him out of town. I think it's difficult for us, as people of God, because we have to be reminded from time to time who our God is and how our God looks at all humanity. Our God loves everyone. And when we see the vision of God before us, it makes us have to look at ourselves in the light of what God looks like. Praise be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.